The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back to the program. The big news from earlier from Tuscaloosa, Nick Saban, the legendary coach, apparently will be there in Tuscaloosa just a little bit longer. The university announced that he has been extended until 2028. That is correct. He will be 77 years old at the conclusion of the 28th season. Saban seemed to indicate that that would be it, although no one really knows for sure. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. Daryl is up next. Good afternoon, Daryl.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, just a simple question. It is about Nick Saban. With him getting up in his age at 77, do you see him being as productive as he has been, or do you see him, like, in the previous, not this last year, but the previous 2 years, of having a little downtrodden time? Or do you think that he could pull out two, maybe three more championships?
Well, Daryl, I will give you a broad answer here. What Saban has done is he's put off the inevitable. And what the inevitable is this. As you get close to the end, you start being hurt in recruiting. I always hate to keep saying the same thing, but it's my only point of reference. I covered the end of Coach Bryant. He was the same age then in 1982 that Nick Saban is today, but he was losing the recruiting battles. He was also losing battles to keep his coaching staff. And I think at some point Alabama would have to do what Duke did the other day with Coach K. They'd have to figure out a way to have a successor there to make the transition easier, and not from any other reason than recruiting, because ultimately you get hurt if you don't have a succession plan. And college football is a little bit different recruiting than basketball. It's a much longer tenure for the very best players. So I think that's ultimately the one thing that we can't get an answer for now. But if Nick Saban is healthy, there's no reason to think that he's not going to be able to keep winning.
What does this new, you know, transfer portal thing, I mean, do you see that being maybe a downfall towards the, you know, the later of his life?
Well, sure. I'm younger than Coach Saban, so it's hard for me to relate, by a number of years, not that many, but a number. Once you get to a certain point in your career, you are faced with those questions. And in Saban's case, he's probably the most adaptable coach I've ever seen. I don't think it's going to affect him very much until suddenly one of his, you know, a player he was depending on decides, you know what, I've had enough of this. I don't like the way things are.
Right.
And you can't predict that. I think he's suited to help it, but, you know, I hate to keep saying things are unpredictable, but I've watched this before, as all of you have, and all of a sudden you lose a game you're not supposed to. The season goes down the drain, meaning at Alabama you go 10-2 or 11-1. You don't win the championship. Somebody knocks you off a couple of times, and the questions get very loud.
Well, Paul, one last question, and I'll let you go. Who do you think his successor would be, or what kind of plan do you think would be put forth, and at what period do you think that he sees the writing on the wall and says, you know, I don't want to leave them in bad shape.
Right.
We got a good recruiting class still. I need to get somebody in here. Do you think he'll pick his own successor, or do you think Alabama, the school itself, will actually do it?
Daryl, that's a great question. I think I was communicating the other day with Ken Smithmeyer, who's, you know, former CEO, and he does he consults a lot of big companies, and he said this to me. He said, I think the Duke model might be the best one for Alabama. And what that model really is that the coach picks a successor. If Nick Saban, you can't do it too far out, because if Nick Saban, you know, determines in 3 years that 5 years from now so-and-so is, you know, this person is going to take his place. It just doesn't work. Remember Jimbo Fisher was the heir apparent at Florida State. It didn't work out. I mean, all of a sudden, this is one of those trivia questions that people will forget, but does anyone remember that Will Muschamp was the coach in waiting under Mack Brown at Texas? It didn't work out. Will said, you know what? I'm not going to sit around and wait for this guy to retire. I'm going to Florida.
Well, look at Lincoln Riley. How long was he at Oklahoma before he took over?
He wasn't there that long because Lincoln Riley, I think, is still only like 22 years old. He had been there a couple. That just happened. And I think Bob Stoops looked over there and said, this guy can do it. I think Nick Saban, he's not ready for it. But, you know, down the road, I'm sure he is going to be looking at his staff very closely, and he's going to be looking around college football very closely. And I could not tell you who has, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, I would have said it's Dabo Swinney. Two years ago, I would have said, you know what, could be Steve Sarkisian. But right now, it's impossible to know. Is there someone on his staff that could take over for him? I'm not sure I see anybody right now. I can think of a couple of coaches elsewhere who could come in, you know, former Saban assistants, but I'm not sure there is someone currently. Well, let me correct myself. There is one person on the staff, I think, that could take over for him very well. I'm going to let that hang out there for a minute because I don't want to ruin that guy's day by announcing it.
Okay, Paul. Hey, man, well, I appreciate it. I was a first-time caller, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's funny. As soon as I said that, I had to refresh my mind, which is difficult to do. But there is if Saban decided in the next year or two that for whatever reason he's going to leave, I think there is a successor on the staff. But will that guy still be there in 4 or 5 or 6 years? And, I know fans want Nick Saban to be there forever. That's fine. Why wouldn't you? But I think realistically, you can't look at the end of that. You have to look somewhere 2-3 years out as that critical moment when things have to come together. Otherwise, he will get caught up in the same dilemma that all the other great ones. I mean, they could not get rid of Joe Paterno. Graham Spanier, the president of Penn State, years before the end, went to Paterno's house to get rid of him, and he walked out of there barely holding on to his own job. Let's continue with more calls and talk to Cal, who is in Austin, Texas. Hello, Cal. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
So kind of going along with the theme of the day, talking about Saban's extension, who do you worry about the most in the SEC West as far as knocking off Alabama? Is it Texas A&M? Is it LSU kind of on a rebound year? Who within the SEC West?
Well, I think the answer is, in my mind, is pretty easy. I think the most dangerous coach is Jimbo Fisher. And it's not only because he's won a title. It's because he knows, you know, he worked for Saban. He's now at a place that, you know, in many ways is equal to Alabama in terms of largesse. I mean, it's A&M is huge. In terms, you live in Texas, you know what I'm talking about. So I think Ed Orgeron just needs to, you know, he's capable of it, but he's got a lot of headwinds right now going on in that program that he needs to overcome.
Right. They've already kind of reached a pinnacle too, whereas
and
still working towards.
Yeah, and some of this, some of these things may not have anything to do with him, but there's just a lot of attention on that on LSU right now that will not clear up for a couple of years, I don't think. And you know whether any of it dings the program or dings the perception, it's unclear. But I would say Jimbo Fisher is in a much better spot.
Well, as an Aggie from the Austin area, that's good to hear. I certainly think momentum's there as far as the money side of it, the football side of it. I've been encouraged the last few years of everything going on. So.
And Cal, I will tell you this. I said this about 8 or 9 years ago, and I was not proven correct, but I've always felt that since A&M came into the SEC, they were the biggest threat to Alabama, only because they think like Alabama in Texas. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but there's nothing that A&M can't do. All it takes is a few phone calls. But it was always a matter of getting the right person in there, and I think we both would agree A&M has the right person in there. We'll take a break. More to come. More guests. We'll go out to Oklahoma City a little bit later and check on the prelude to the Alabama World Series game. Mississippi State's in the Super Regional. Ole Miss is winning right now. A number of other games later tonight. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And a very busy Monday afternoon. It's quiet. Everybody having a good time. Just sitting there at the bar having a quiet drink. And guess who walks in? Jeff from Columbus, Ohio.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, I guess you heard the news about Saban, didn't you?
Yeah, that's why I called, because you're not reporting any time soon, man.
Jeff, for some reason, you're breaking up on us here. So what did you say again?
It sounds like you're not retiring anytime soon.
No. I'll tell you what, let me try this again. You don't want to miss a call from Jeff, but he's up in Ohio where who knows what's in the air. We'll try to get Jeff back on here in just a moment. How about Thomas, who is up next? Hey, Thomas, go right ahead.
Talk to you, Paul.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for a long time first time caller.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks. I'm it's you know, come on. And does he left in him? Does you tell me?
Maybe it's my problem here, Thomas. For some reason, you were breaking up on me too. Breaking up is hard to do, I know. But let me try that one more time so I can get your answer in.
I think the question is a long one. You got the.
No, I tell you what, let me try. I don't know if it's, we are in the middle of a storm here. It could be part of the problem. So we'll try to get Jeff back and Thomas back because I never, we are in the middle of a storm here. So it's possible that we're missing key ingredients of a sentence like the subject, the gerund, and here once again is Jeff. Okay, let's try this again, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Paul?
That is better. I hear you well.
Yeah. Don't let a little thunderstorm screw things up down there. Come on, man.
It's the South in early June, and there's a thunderstorm every 3 seconds.
I mean, I know Saban was on the other end of the phone. Those fine lines would be crystal clear.
Well, he's got the Apple 24 phone.
Right. Hey, man, how was your vacation? Because you got back and you were a little sassy. I was glad to see you got a little giddy up in your step.
Yeah, it was. It was great. I'm now knocking the miles out. I was somewhere over the weekend again. I'm not letting up now, Jeff. I'm following your lead.
Hell yes, let's go, baby. Did you get down to the Gulf Coast, Florida?
I sure did. Not far from where you were.
Yeah, how'd you like it? Was it nice?
We were there 3.5 days. Never saw a thunderstorm. Never saw a drop of rain. It was 85 every day. It was spectacular. If I'd stayed another day, I would have been looking for real estate.
That's right. Did you get any pickleball in?
Never got any pickleball in. I mainly just took in the beach and the good life. But maybe I'm going to see if I can get into a pickleball tournament maybe sometime this August.
Yeah, I mean, Naples is the Mecca, so next time you get down that way, you make sure you get in the mix.
Well,
Hey, Paul, I just wanted to... Go ahead.
No. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Man, I had to call in and just get a little get off my chest. Man, I had a break-in this weekend. They stole one of our company trucks. How you like that?
That is, I mean, I can't believe people would do that. But I hope.
Yeah, very frustrating.
Yeah.
And what the frustrating thing is, I never realized this. You get something stolen, and you go to the impound lot because they found it today. I got to pay the towing bill. How about that?
Well, Jeff, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you're going to be able to meet the payroll at the end of the week.
Oh, we'll be all right, Paul. But I'm a little fired up over it, I tell you what. So I got to take out my frustration on all these giddy Georgia fans. I heard them calling in after that transfer portal news they got. I want to break a little news to them, okay? They need to go back and watch that Clemson-Ohio State game and watch what Chris Olave did to that defensive back they're all fired up about. I think he torched him at least twice. So, Georgia fans, don't think that's going to get you to the promised land and beat Alabama and hang with teams like Clemson and Ohio State, because it's not happening. And I'll be surprised that Gilbert guy, do you think, Paul, deep down he's ever going to play it down?
I have my doubts only because, I still think there is an eligibility issue you have to overcome, and I don't know where it is. I have
exactly.
No earthly idea.
Yeah, so, I mean, they might get fired up about getting these transfers in, but not all of them work out like Justin Fields worked out for us up here at Ohio State. They don't all work quite that well, Georgia fans. So calm down. You're going to get all giddy again. But, you still got to go out in the field and prove it, and I'm not seeing it happening. But, I just think – and by the way, Paul, I don't know about how many good recruits were down in Alabama this weekend, but I think every top recruit in the country was in Columbus over the weekend. It was incredible. Between that and the Memorial Tournament, did you see that Memorial yesterday?
I did, and I'm still trying to figure out why John Rahm was suspended from the tournament.
Everybody is. I mean, that's a PGA decision, and why they didn't even at least let him go in the clubhouse, I thought that was terrible. They broke the news right off the green.
No, I mean, there's no reason for that. I mean, there have been times in the past when – there's a death threat many years ago. I mean, they don't tell you that in front of 30 million people.
No. I mean, that was the most awkward thing I've ever seen. And you terrible to do it when the guy's walking off the green. I mean, that's something you do in private. I just don't get it. And the other point I've heard a lot of people make up here is why don't you just let the guy, even if he had to wear a mask, play by himself?
Yeah, I mean Jeff, I'm not advocating. I mean, first of all, he's asymptomatic. He probably doesn't really even have it.
Right.
And secondly, right. He's playing golf.
Right.
Just keep him out of the locker room, which isn't hard to do. Just keep him, have him play the final round by himself.
Right, that's what I said. And the funny thing is, they went ahead. I think they found out when he was on 12 and let him play the next six holes. I mean, that's the crazy thing about a lot of this stuff. It's so hypocritical that you let the guy play basically a third of a round, knowing he's possibly positive, but then you won't let him play the next day. I mean, it's amazing that it's kind of gone. And then swept under the rug a little bit. It just kind of died.
No, and you know me. I mean, I'm not. But to me, it's just. I don't know all the backstory, but it just sends the wrong message right now. And he's really not a threat. But anyway, it's over with. They've already made their decision. And the worst thing is he's got to isolate now for 10 days as he's trying to get ready for the U.S. Open.
I was wondering about that. I didn't hear a whole lot talked about that. When is the Open? Like in 2 weeks?
Yeah, the Open starts a week from this Thursday. And, he's only, this guy is only one of the three or four best players in the world. We're not talking about some chump here
right. Who
got in the tournament on a sponsor's exemption.
Right, you're exactly right. The guy's a top 3-5 threat on any tournament he walks into. I agree with you 100%. I don't get why they handle it that way. It just goes to prove.
Hey, Jeff. Before you go, are you enjoying watching the softball and the baseball tournament with all the great Ohio State teams in there?
Yeah, I tell you what, that's a nice jab. I like it, Paul. I ducked out of the way though, and you and slipped by that punch. That punch slipped by, but I am watching. Hey, I tell you what, that Alabama pitcher is fun to watch. I've been watching all these games. I watched that game last night. Didn't Alabama lose last night? I can't remember.
Yeah, Alabama lost yesterday to Florida State, and they're playing again tonight in the second in the championship. Well,
I'm all dialed in, Paul.
Yeah, if they win the game, then they're in the finals. Now,
yeah,
women's softball is. I was somewhere Saturday in Alabama at a restaurant, and I heard that conversation in three or four different places. And I was someplace today back home, and I was still hearing people talk about her. And she's on the
it's
mountain.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's unbelievable. I mean,
And she's named after a great state, Montana.
That's right. But no, I have enjoyed it, to be honest with you. I haven't gotten dialed in on the baseball yet. Obviously, there's not too many teams from Big Ten country that are big threat in the baseball World Series, but I have liked the softball. But that's good to hear, Paul. You're getting out and about, and I can't wait till the time we hook up down there on the Florida Gulf Coast. That'll be a ball down there.
Jeff, the party's on me. It's see you soon. Thank you very much. Glad we could get you back on. Sorry we lost the other caller. We were going through a storm. I think the storm has passed, and we are coming back with more of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back, and it's always great to welcome Justin Ferguson back to our program. What is going on the plains? We've talked about Georgia and Bama, and, of course, the Nick Saban news. Brian Harsin about to take on his first season in the SEC. Justin, thank you for being with us. Good afternoon, and give us a lay of the land down there. How are things going under the new coach?
Yeah, it's a new era down here for sure. I think we're already starting to see some of the effects of it. With Brian Harsin, the way things are going about business here at Auburn, they want to have a kind of culture change from the Gus Malzahn regime. They want to do things differently, and he's bringing in that hard-nosed, hard work style that Boise State was really known for when he was up there, in the Mountain West for several seasons. And there have been people who've kind of likened it to when when Pat Dye made his way down to Auburn, just a different kind of culture, different kind of mentality than what we've seen from Auburn in the past decade. And it's really interesting. I mean, there are a lot of little aspects of the program that have changed, the way they've done workouts, the way they went through practices in the spring, and really the way they're recruiting as well. With everything opening up this past week for in-person recruiting, we've seen Auburn bring a lot of guys onto campus for unofficial visits and official visits. We've seen them cast a pretty wide net. They've had visitors from all over the place, Pacific Northwest, up in New York State, some guys out in the Southwest and the Midwest. And so it is a really different kind of perspective here for Auburn football. And that's really what Alan Green and the Auburn administration set out when they hired him, with Brian Harsin, is that for Auburn to compete in the SEC at a really high level, they're going to try to do some things differently when you're going up against behemoths like Alabama and Georgia being your top two rivals.
Justin, you talked about a culture change, and certainly when Dye showed up there, it was hard-nosed, relentless, somewhat similar to the early days of Paul Brian. How would you describe the culture permeating the air around Brian Harsin?
Yeah, I think those are two words that really kind of really set the tone for what we were seeing under Brian Harsin earlier. This is a team that's going to want to win at the line of scrimmage. It's going to be a team that's going to run the ball downhill. Defense is going to be very attacking. Derek Mason is such a great mind on that side of the ball, but they want to win up front. And, one of the big things we saw in the spring that was such a change from talking to players was the way Auburn did their workouts. A lot more, kind of more power stuff that they were working on with their strength training than compared to what they did, in the last couple of administrations at Auburn. And guys said they felt a difference. They felt stronger. They felt, felt tougher. And it's that mentality that they're trying to bring into place. I mean, they started summer workouts here this past week. I mean, we're hearing stories about, getting up really, really early for these workouts and how hard the strength and conditioning staff are pushing them. And it's a different mindset. It's a different way to go about it. There were elements of the Gus Malzahn era where Auburn could be really physical, really smash mouth. But this is kind of like a top-down approach and kind of everything they want to do. They want to, go kind of all business with it. And I think, they're everything is trying to set up for Auburn to be this team that wants to win at the line of scrimmage and be strong and be able to be very, I think, multiple and varied, both on offense and defense, so that if you win at the line of scrimmage, you can do a variety of things in your backfields that can keep the other team off balance. Because as good as Auburn is as a recruiter, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Texas A&M, those are usually schools those are schools you play every single year. They usually recruit better than you. So Auburn's going to try to figure out ways to overcome those talent gaps with this style of football that Harsin prefers and that he's bringing down from Boise.
Justin, you can't take anything away from a coach who develops players. They don't have to all be five-star, top 10, top 15, top 20 players, although we do see when Saban gets those players, he does win. But I'm curious because there are, as you know, you cover the team, there are people who are concerned about the type of players that Harsin and his staff are recruiting. Are they good enough? Unless they're developed to a high level, how does Auburn compete with those players against Kirby Smart and Nick Saban?
Yeah, I think that's the big exchange and the big experiment here with Brian Harsin, is that he developed a reputation at Boise State for being a great talent developer, and was able to turn guys who were low-rated recruits and even walk-ons into early round picks in the NFL draft. And now you bring him in at Auburn, where your talent level is naturally going to be higher. Auburn recruits at a top 15 level pretty much every single year, and has been in the modern recruiting rankings. And it's like, that's the area where Auburn needs to get at, and they need to be. They have gotten, they're kind of playing behind the eight ball here with this 2022 class because, they couldn't go out on the road and recruit like everybody else does. But I've always said that Auburn is one of those schools that really, really relies on that, maybe more so than some other powerhouses, because they don't have that NFL reputation like an Alabama or like a Georgia. They don't have the championships that they can just point to easily. So Auburn always wants to bring guys on campus and show them the difference. And so one of the interesting things we've seen early on from Brian Harsin is that, they are getting some guys early in these commitments and some of these transfers they've gotten commitments from that are from smaller schools kind of lower graded guys that have the skill set, kind of scheme fits that they want to coach them up. But I think long term, everybody knows that to survive in the SEC, you have got to recruit at a really, really high level. And so I think this first year and this first recruiting class for Brian Harsin will be very interesting. That this might not be a star-studded, very massive class because of what Auburn's done in the, you know, on the transfer portal and what they're going to kind of continue to do. But this is about setting a foundation, building that culture, building those bridges, inviting kids in, establishing those relationships with these schools and say, hey, in the 2021 season, we're going to show this is what the new era of Auburn football is all about. And so that in 2022, when you get a full cycle, so to speak, when you're able to go out and recruit and bring kids on campus from the very beginning, you'll be able to hit it hard. And we know that locally here in the state of Alabama, it's a really that 2023 class is very loaded with talent. So I think it's going to be interesting if they can establish, hey, this is what we look like, and know that even though this might not be, you know, a top 10 class, get guys that fit the program, the culture, the style that you want to, develop them up. And then, you know, you'll have established your relationships and established those bridges that you can hit, you know, even harder with some of those big-name recruits in 2023 and beyond.
Justin, in terms of the type of players that Auburn is currently getting, how would, you know, what other type of schools are Auburn competing with to get these guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the Alabamas and the Georgias right now, and so it's for some of these guys, of course. You know, some of the three stars they've picked up, some of the commitments they've got from the transfer portal, these like lower, these FCS and, you know, group of five schools, you know, Auburn usually is kind of among some of the top names, you know, for the going after these guys. Now there have been some exceptions. Auburn, what they've done at the quarterback position here recently with the commitments that they've got right now, you know, they've gone up against places like Georgia, places like LSU and Alabama, the guys, you know, wanted after there. But I think for the most part, we have seen Auburn really, really focus in on fit, you know, scheme fit, guys that, you know, in the portal and especially in the portal right now because Auburn only has three commitments in this 2022 class out of high school at the moment. They've gotten after guys that are familiar with the type of defense that Derek Mason runs because it is a different scheme than what we saw with Kevin Steele and how well that was for the last few years. We have seen guys that are better fits for this more pro-style offense that Brian Harsin and Mike Bobo are going after. And so I think what Auburn is doing right now is, you know, they are not kind of resting on their laurels and kind of just taking the inherited talent and pushing it forward. They're going into some of these smaller schools, finding guys that want an NFL shot, want a bigger platform. And then when the, you know, the coaching changes that they've had, they've lost some young players. They've gone in and been able to backfill them with some younger guys from Power Five schools that were looking for a fresh start somewhere else. So, yeah, I mean, Auburn isn't pulling in five stars right now. They're not pulling in high four stars at the moment. They hope that that can change once we get closer to the season and you know, get into the meat of the 2022 cycle. But, yeah, for right now, I think Auburn has really, really prioritized guys that are scheme fits, that are culture fits, guys who have some talents that they can look at and say, we can develop these dudes into, you know, really good SEC players in time. And I think that's kind of the approach we've seen.
Justin Ferguson talking about the Auburn. Oh, by the way, what's going to happen with Bo Nix? Is he going to start or is he being pushed pretty hard?
He's going to be pushed hard this fall. You know, they do have a commitment, you know, from a transfer and they want to, you know, these people arrive, they want competition. I think the interesting thing is that Bo Nix went through spring practices and I thought I saw some improvement out of him. I think hearing from teammates and coaches, you saw him better, be a better decision maker, be a better, you know, a little bit more consistent with his mechanics and with some of the issues he has struggled with his first two seasons as Auburn's starting quarterback. But like I said, Auburn's not kind of resting. You know, they have gone in and have wanted to push, get somebody to push Bo Nix. And so it's going to be very interesting to see it at fall camp. I mean, I think when you're a two-year starter in the SEC, it's hard to knock that guy off that pedestal. It would take a lot, I think, to push it off. But I think also Brian Harsin knows you can't put all your eggs in one basket when it comes to the quarterback position, especially when you're a first-year coach trying to make a statement in year one. Injuries happen. Drops in play happen, obviously. And so –
Auburn has lost a couple of backup quarterbacks in the portal this offseason. They went out and they're getting some other ones. They have a commitment in 2022 from another one as well. You know, we know that elite programs want to bring in a quarterback per year and want to be able to get those guys to compete and let the, you know, let the chips fall where they may, so to speak. And I think with the depth they lost at quarterback, they brought in, you know, they're bringing in options that are, they're going to be able to push Bo Nix pretty early on. And we'll see how it all shakes out. I think it's going to be a very interesting fall because in spring practices, while Bo made some strides, I thought, and looked good at times, you know, he wasn't really pushed that much. There just wasn't that much of a challenge. And I think that's going to be a different story come fall camp.
Justin Ferguson with the latest on Auburn. Thank you so very much. We're heading to the break. Don't forget, top of the hour, we head out to Oklahoma City to get you ready for the Women's College World Series. Alabama playing in about an hour and 15 minutes. Oklahoma leading right now by one against JMU. We are heading to a break. Back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey, we're back here at the end of the third hour, and Augie is up next in New Orleans. So, hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Some crazy news about Jeff's truck, huh?
Yeah. I'm sure the suspects are a long list of Feinbaum callers.
What do you think the odds are it was an inside job?
High.
But it sounds like he found the truck because they charged him for a towing job.
Yeah.
So in addition to giving us the commodities report on lumber and the housing market, Jeff's now got the crime update report. He's going to be a new show just in himself.
Yeah, he'll be the new morning show on Newsmax.
He and Griffith could do their own show. What do you think? Did you notice Griffith's tie?
It was pink, was it not?
He had flamingos, pink flamingos, okay, on a surfboard surfing. So, and during his interview, did you see where he sort of dematerialized? I thought the Starship Enterprise was being up or something.
He did.
zapped away. And then
I mean, I say, you know, I have great admiration. The guy's a snazzy dresser for. And let me give you the second part of the sentence for a sports writer.
Well, I was going to say he wears the same checkered sports coat every time he does an interview. All he does is change the tie.
I don't know. We were somewhere about a year and a half ago, and he did not have a tie, and I lent him mine, and I may keep doing that.
Oh, man. Well, you know, he sort of backed off on Georgia during the interview. But if you follow his tweets, like, he's one of the few people I follow.
Yeah.
The guy's like, unequivocally, Georgia's going to win the national title. He was very timorous in his assessment of the prospects of Georgia with you. Did you not get that feeling that he was sort of hedging his bets a bit?
Augie, I think he is. He realizes this is the downtime, the down season, summer reruns, and I think he's saving up for the SEC media days when he comes back and starts making new proclamations. I think he's pulling our leg, to use an old line from our youth.
Okay, well, I don't know, but hey, Paul. Yesterday, the Nebraska faithful kind of got some revenge against you. What do you think about that?
Well, we'll see what happens tonight. How about that?
Okay.
I am not, if Nebraska somehow knocks Arkansas out of this tournament, we'll have a more serious conversation. But in baseball, as the experts tell us, anything can happen once.
Okay.
And by the way, I say that as Oklahoma now is pretty much ragdolling JMU after losing the opening game. I mean, they just opened up a 6-1 lead. So those things happen. JMU's a really good team. And look at LSU. They're still alive. Who would have ever thought that? We'll take a quick break. Hour to go. We'll head out to Oklahoma City.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.